Now on today's program, welcome to the show, finally, Sir Chuck Norris. This is Sidekicks. I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Zadek.
Eric Siska.
Chris Cabin.
And we hate movies. Hello, everyone. Welcome to We Hate Movies. Thank you for tuning in to our fine program, as always. If you're checking us out for the first time, hey, thanks a lot for giving us a spin.
Now, also, you look pretty good, too.
You do look pretty good. I like that. This is Sidekicks from 1992, directed by brother of Chuck Norris, Aaron Norris. This is him and Jonathan Brandis, rest in peace. And it's a really boring Karate Kid knockoff is what this movie is.
It's a really exciting Karate Kid knockoff.
Dude, you are so easily excited these days.
I am.
What
I
a
think
boring
the nostalgia might be clouding Eric's perception. I mean, how many times?
Have you seen this movie before, Chris?
Oh, yes. Plenty. Oh, yeah. We're going to be the big numbers in the room, I think.
Big numbers in the room.
I've seen this tons and tons of times, probably like 30.
Yeah, I'm in that area.
It was on TV nonstop, and when we were like getting ready to do this episode, I was like, you know what? Might be time to pick up the Blu-ray.
Well, you know,
did you do it?
Did you do it?
I looked for it, and dude, not on Blu-ray, not on DVD. It's like fucking hard to find. And then I watched the movie. I'm like, what? Why? Like, what? They're leaving money on the table. And then I watched the movie. I'm like, oh, it's full of slurs.
Yeah.
It's wall to wall slurs.
This is one of the most racist kids' movies I've ever seen.
It's tough.
Oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't paying attention. I was having a fantasy about killing you all with Chuck Norris.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry. That just took the entire opening. Are we recommending right now?
God, wait.
I recommend it.
Wait. Were you,
you got him, Chuck.
Wait. Were you. Code of Silence, Chuck Norris, or were you missing an action, Chuck Norris, in this one?
Yeah, I was missing an action, Chuck Norris.
Oh, okay.
He painted the walls with Eric's blood.
God,
it's pretty impressive.
What a loser. What is that, Stevie Weary? Loser. You're a loser.
So this movie is about a mentally deranged child.
Well, he's got an invisible friend named Chuck Norris, which I assume is short for Charles Norris.
No, actually, it's short for Carlos.
What? Are you shitting
me? I'm not shitting you.
Carlos Norris?
Carlos Norris, pretty fucking badass.
That's pretty cool.
That is really cool, but it's too bad that since he's a Texan, he can't go by that legally.
Oh, no, they build a wall around him.
Ted Cruz would kill him in the street.
I just like the idea of building a wall around Chuck Norris.
Well, now I'm getting stuck in a wall.
Hey, Barry, only you can get me out of this wall.
Oh, my God.
Hey,
I
Barry.
Hate these fucking fantasy sequences. You're the best, Barry.
Hey,
Barry, you're probably going to get laid tonight.
Hey, Barry, you know how to use that shotgun, right?
Hey, Barry.
Hey, Barry, you know, nice trick with that shotgun is you can pull the trigger with your toe when you kill yourself.
It's pretty creative.
Now, oh, poor Barry. Now, here's the thing.
Oh, wait, that's insensitive because the actor then killed himself.
Yeah, we should get that out of the way. We are worried about Jonathan Brandis.
Jonathan Brandis hung himself, so my shotgun to the head joke was fine.
You're fine, Eric. Yes, you're cleared.
Listen, for the record, nowhere in this 90-odd minutes are we making fun of the fact that Jonathan Brandis took his own life.
Yes.
Put your fucking tweet away. We're aware that he committed suicide.
That is precisely why we scrapped that Ladybugs episode.
No, that's a stay tuned.
That episode's weird.
I wish I was watching Ladybugs. That movie is weird.
Hey, kid, dress up like a little girl.
Oh, wait, no, you're kind of hot.
Dude, man, you think they're partying in heaven?
I do think that. Rodney's got all the little umbrella drinks ready to go. Now, here's the thing. I've seen this movie 30 times minus 29.
Okay.
And I had no...
I can't believe you fucking dodged it.
Because, listen, this is crazy. Like, I've seen an obscene amount of Walker, Texas Ranger for some reason.
Really?
Yeah.
Not one.
Really?
I've gotten away with it.
Hey, turns out you're totally fine.
Great.
But I aside from like his appearance in Expendables 2, I don't think I have ever seen the Chuck Norris
movie.
I haven't either.
I don't know.
No. I saw this movie in theaters, by the way, and I saw this bunch growing up as a kid. The weird thing is this worked as an effective piece of Chuck Norris propaganda because I literally watched that movie and I was like, well, he's the biggest star in the world. Like, I mean, clearly the guy's huge. I mean, you watch Sidekicks, that kid's going crazy about it.
They made a whole movie about it.
I think he was walking around like that for years.
For people a little older than us, I think he was more of a big deal, you know, because there were so many movies.
I think his era was like 87.
Right.
Like 87 was big for him.
If you were 17 or 16 or whatever going to the movies in 1987,
you wouldn't have seen Sidekicks, though.
No, but you would have sent, like, what was that? USA.
USA Under Siege or something?
Something like that.
Invasion USA.
Oh, that's what it is.
Which is boring as sin. All of his movies are boring.
Delta Force is fucking impossible
to watch. Delta Force, Missing in Action.
Someone say Delta Force? Oh, no, I'll show myself out.
He's too dumb to realize that's what it was a parody of. Like, it was joking around with that title.
I thought it was Farts. Delta Farts. Oh, no, we better build a wall around Chuck Norris. He's going to get out, Carlos Norris. Oh, man, he's going to hit me in the face with a Delta Fart.
Oh, man, maybe Larry, the cable guy, would think he's like Carlos Mencia.
Oh, no, he's going to steal my jokes. Carlos Norris is going to steal my act.
Well, no, it was. I mean, it's so weird because I obviously am aware of Chuck Norris. I've heard of a ton of these movies.
He was in a Bruce Lee movie.
I think I've seen that.
The Way of the Dragon.
Enter the Dragon, no? Or no?
I think it was
He's not in Enter the Dragon. But, like, I was always. I've known what this movie is for years, but I just thought it was a movie about Chuck Norris and Jonathan Brandis doing things. So when the opening credits come up and it just says Chuck Norris as himself, I was like, wait, what?
This movie just got better?
I was so fucking confused. And then when that first dream sequence hits,
so good.
I was like, oh, this is the dumbest thing
alive. I mean, the
movies,
we got a fake opening. We've got a fake movie opening where it's...
There's 9 fake movies in this movie.
Well, the weird thing is he's like, it's one thing to be like, you know, I'm fantasizing about being Chuck Norris' sidekick. I'm deranged. That's what I do. That's my thing. But he's always fantasizing about his teacher.
Oh, yep.
In sexual peril.
Yes.
That is a big one. He's a young boy.
Yeah.
Going to school.
He's not nearly angry enough at Beau Bridges hanging out with her, though.
Where's that jealousy angle?
I think it's like he's living like his father's pecker is now like an extension of his own.
That's
a belief this man
has, you think?
Well, like it's like if you're Chris Cabin and your father's banging your teacher that you wanted to bang, you're like, well, at least a Cabin got her.
That's kind of like that George Burns movie we did 100 years ago.
Oh, right. Yeah. 18 again.
This first thing's like there's a cult sacrifice going on. Like, this is how the movie opens.
Bill, feudal Japan or something.
It's just, woman is tied to a thing like Fay Wray and King Kong.
Dude, the music in this sequence, holy shit.
The music in this entire movie is downright rotten.
Just the appropriation going on everywhere in this white kid's brain. You can keep me right out of it.
I mean, I think this is like the apex of white guy karate movies.
Well, because Chuck Norris is the Marlon Brando of white guy karate.
Yes. True.
He's the master.
Yeah, I could have been a contender in that karate tournament.
Hey, Barry.
Oh, poor Barry, man.
Get the butter.
Oh, no.
No, it had to happen really quickly.
Wow.
Yeah, so like this dude, and like it's kind of funny because they're all wearing, they look like, what's the... the white ninja in those shitty G.I. Joe movies.
Oh, it's not Snake.
Snow something?
Storm? Snow Shadow?
Snowden.
Edward Snowden.
Hi, I'm a white ninja. Snow
the Rapper.
Weird. This is a back entry through a Tor browser. /backkick.
Do you really have to be dressed up for this?
Greg Greenwald's like, oh, you want to take that out?
No, it's fine. I want to hide my identity.
Subroot. Nunchuck.
Oh, wait, that's why he went to Russia, because he could just hide in the snow.
Oh, that's right. He went to work with Cobra, like Snow Shadow does.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's so funny, because he's wearing like this entire like white uniform with like white body armor and a white helmet where you can't see anything of his face. And I'm like, wow, look at this person kicking ass and saving this woman. And then it's just like, you know, of course, there's like gong sound effects all over the place. And then you just hear like,
oh, hey there, ma'am. You appear to be in trouble.
I'll save you. And I was like, oh, that's Chuck Norris under there.
I'm just going to finish this nice peanut butter and jelly sandwich I have here.
That it's it's a milk toast white man
I've brought here for, and we're going to finish this.
It's kind of amazing. Like, Chuck Norris is out-acted in this movie by everybody.
Everybody.
Yeah, everybody.
There's a plank of wood does fucking phenomenal lines.
Oh, it's the Marlon Brando of planks of wood.
It's amazing that Chuck Norris became such a star. You know?
Yeah.
Well, it says something that other than the canon movies,
yeah,
I can't remember a name of a movie he's been in. I remember
that's
him being
point.
In movies
yes.
in general and spin kick and doing the whole thing. And
but a lot of his movies were canon, I think.
Yeah, they signed him. He was like one of their guys for a while.
That's amazing. It's like the studio system.
I think that's the most I've seen of Chuck Norris movies is watching that documentary on canon films.
Which is great.
It's amazing.
And I feel
that's
he goes up to Dudikoff and he's like, hey, man. Just stay the fuck off my corner.
Back off, brother.
You got to spin to death?
I get three. You get one.
I think Dudikoff movies might be more watchable.
Is that right?
Dudikoff?
Yeah, that's it.
Michael Dudikoff, I know you're listening. I bet that just made your day. Is he dead?
No, he's alive.
He's by the time
this
he might wish
listen,
elsewise.
Come on.
But
by the time this airs, he's probably been deceased.
Possible.
They would Farina Dudikoff.
Oh, they would totally Farina.
They wouldn't consider him even a part of the entertainment industry.
I don't think he's in the Screen Actors Guild. He's in the Karate Actors Guild.
Yeah, I don't think that's
big difference.
I don't even think he's being notified the day of.
He's in CAG.
SAG.
Yeah, oh, man, let's shoot up some CAG.
So Barry is having this really elaborate fantasy.
He wakes up with a huge boner in the middle of
and
class.
That's the weird
and
thing.
He starts fucking working on it.
He starts talking. He's like, Chuck, get him, Chuck, in the middle of
class.
Hey,
Barry, remember to show your work. Take out your dick and show it.
But that's the important thing. That's what you said is wrong. He doesn't wake up. He's never sleeping when this happens.
No, he's very rarely
sleeping. That's the problem.
Oh,
he should be sleeping and be like, and like, no, it's him. He's staring out into the audience.
Well, because he's deranged.
And he's muttering to himself.
Chuck,
like,
I got you, Chuck. I'm going to do it, Chuck.
Maybe he's really high.
He's smoking up.
He's more opioids, maybe.
Yeah, I was gonna say, wait, what is he smoking? Dude, because Jesus Christ,
he's smoking everything.
If that was true, I'd be fucking seeing all sorts of stuff.
Wait, you're not seeing shit?
He's smoking weed, and Chuck is just like, "Oh, Barry, come on, Barry, oh, Barry."
Barry, don't you know what Reagan said about that?
Winners don't do that, Barry.
Yeah, winners do not do that.
And
this class is laughing at him.
Of course. They are right to laugh at this kid.
Oh, absolutely.
Everybody but Winnie is like having a riot of
Danica McKellar in this movie is the love interest.
Right. You referred to her as Winnie, which is her... her Christian name in
Wonder Years.
Yes, thank you.
Well, that's because the whole time he's like, so this it is Winnie is his... love interest, and the whole time I was just thinking about in the hallway, just like a jealous Fred Savage watching this hall from afar.
Get your arms off my girl.
Hey there, stupid daydream kid.
Hey, Winnie, what were you talking about? Hey, Winnie, what were you talking about with that nerd?
Man.
I'm gonna beat you up in my Jets jacket.
Oh, and wait, they also shared a father, Bo Bridges and the Wizard.
Oh, right.
In this. Get away from my dad.
Oh, now it appears Fred Savage is the one who is deranged.
He was my dad first.
Stealing my family.
You're number two. You're the you're the underson.
Christian Slater has to always kick him out of his car. What are you doing following me?
What's funny, though, is that like you don't. I was piecing this together because, again, first time I'm seeing this movie, and it's like, here's this teacher, Noreen, or whatever her name is, and you're like, oh, you were the kidnap bait from that fantasy. Oh, gross.
Yeah.
Oh, Barry, gross.
The one thing about the fantasies is, like, and it becomes more prominent throughout the movie, is, like, all Chuck Norris movies are, like, rated R. They're violent. There's cocaine.
Sure.
Everyone's getting killed.
We're telling a lot of racist stories from Vietnam.
But all these are, like, every time somebody gets kicked, there's, like, a boy-yo-yo-yo-yoing sound.
Yes, and we're firing guns on a lot of these things, but it's, like, I'm going to shoot that light fixture and the ceiling's going to fall on people.
Well, if you're really fantasizing about Chuck Norris movies, you are fucking painting the walls with blood.
Squibs on squibs on squibs.
Yes, exactly. Like when I fantasize about Chuck Norris, like I said,
yes,
we're decapitating each other. Oh, you know, totally. What I mean?
Cutting dicks off.
Well, it's cartoonish elements. You know, he's like watching, you know, Tom and Jerry or something, and he's mixing that with Chuck Norris.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I have fantasies where I'm eaten by Chuck Norris.
Steve is a giant cake, and Chuck Norris eats him.
I mean,
oh, man.
And all he keeps saying is, gee, it's not even my birthday.
Let me blow out the candles. Crunch.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
Don't come around here no more.
Dude, just you even saying that just gives me a nightmare. I'm going to have a Tom Petty nightmare tonight.
I have Tom Petty nightmares almost every night.
Well, here's the thing. One thing you definitely need in your Chuck Norris fantasies is a thick passion mullet.
Yeah.
Yes. That thing. And he does. Brandis gets one in the last fantasy sequence.
Yes. Yeah. He graduates to it.
The teacher has a great line here because, you know, he's like Jonathan Brandis as this Barry says something about like, oh, I guess I was dreaming. And the teacher goes, there's no dreams in school, Barry. And I was like, what a thing for a teacher to say. Shoot that shit right down.
Yeah. Well, they always say like, oh, he's a dreamer. Like, cause she has a meeting with Beau Bridges and he's like, yeah, you know, I'm doing my best with this kid. And he's playing this role really earnestly.
Yeah, he really loves sitting at home with his, quote, videos and karate games.
Beau Bridges, who looks like he just got done driving his car into a tree.
Like some dog ate his homework. He's had a rough morning.
Right. But Beau Bridges got caught in the rain for 4 weeks straight.
He's very much like a George McFly archetype. You know?
Oh, yeah.
He's like the loser dad that, you know, that's another reason why he has to escape with Chuck Norris is that his father is the antithesis of Chuck Norris.
Yes.
Right,
you know,
in every
he's
way
a computer programmer.
Oh, he's a black guy? Oh, no, he's a computer programmer.
Wait, his name Carlos?
No, like, I thought of him more as a Willie Loman type. Like,
yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
At the end of it all.
What I mean is he's a loser.
Yeah, sure.
So, yeah, and Chuck Norris is a winner.
A man's not a piece of fruit, Chuck.
Oh, God.
You can't just throw the rind away, Chuck.
Yes, I can, Barry.
Watch me, Barry.
Fruit is very good for you, Barry.
But
Barry!
The weird thing is they say, like, they're like, oh, he's a dreamer. Like, in this meeting, they're like, well, he's a dreamer, and, you know, Einstein was a dreamer.
Gandhi was a dreamer.
And, like, yeah, yes, it's yes.
True.
Is
that
what he said?
Gandhi.
And, like, yeah.
Gandhi
wasn't imagining he was, you know, kicking people.
How do you know?
Okay,
dude, I would love.
Dude, that's why he did civil disobedience. Oh. That's why he didn't have to fight.
That's how he tuned it all out. He pretended he was in Chuck Norris movies.
Exactly.
One day.
Dude, what do you think that hunger strike was all about? He just kept pretending he was in Chuck
Norris.
That
was his secret
movie.
Place in his mind palace.
His mind palace.
Yes, exactly.
It's just him. It's Gandhi and Chuck Norris eating hamburgers.
What a great hamburger eating contest, Gandhi.
He's like, oh. I said, this is what I'm missing in the real world.
But he's so
these hamburgers are quite good.
But he's so nonviolent that he's actually imagining being in Sidekicks.
Yeah.
Where he has to do almost nothing.
So she's like, hey, man, why don't you try to pay attention to his interests, what with the videos and karate games?
Yeah.
So cut to, we're going to sign him up for karate lessons. Because, you know, sure.
That's what you do. Yeah, sure.
But he picked the worst dojo in this Texas town, which you don't find out it's Texas till like, the last 5 minutes of the movie.
Joe Piscopo's is always on the bottom of the list.
Yes.
I don't care where you are.
This is on the Barry family, whatever their last name is.
Yes.
Oh, it's something because Polish. It's a hard Polish name.
Or something
the
like
the widowed McNaughton's
Gabraski's or whatever.
Hey, wait a second. That's something. So Barry's mother, they don't say dead, but the teacher at one point asks Beau Bridges, like, how long has she been gone?
I'm missing.
Do you think?
After that boat ride, God.
We went on that fishing trip.
No. This isn't on Beau Bridges, but you guys are onto what I'm putting down. I think Jonathan Brandis murdered the mother.
Oh,
because he's fucking crazy.
And, like, to get those thoughts out of his head, he has to imagine a fantasy world. Like,
yes.
Whenever he thinks about how he killed his mother, it just pops to Chuck Norris being like, you're a good boy, Barry. Let's get through this. Don't remember how you and me murdered your mother.
She looked like Lee Marvin at that moment. You had to cut her head off.
I had my hands around her neck, Barry, and you know what? You couldn't stop me. I know you couldn't stop me at that moment.
Remember, Barry, it was me that got the erection, not you.
That'll
so
come
it's okay.
In, that'll
it's...
come in hand later.
So Joe Piscopo is the worst karate instructor of all time, I feel.
But it's really the father's problem because he walks into this dojo during a class and walks onto the mat.
Yeah, like, that's rude.
What the fuck? Like, you see a class is going on. You just don't show up somewhere and walk in.
Like, even Brandis is like, hey, why don't we hang back? And he's like, no. Let me go talk to this man who's in the middle of giving a lesson.
And I mean, like, the problem, I mean, the elephant in the room is this is basically just the Karate Kid, right? Like, this is...
It's the Karate Kid if Ralph Macchio had, like, visions of grandeur.
Dumbed down significantly.
Oh, so stupid.
But the weird thing is, Karate Kid Part 3 came out in 89. This came out, what, 92? It's the same administration. You can't have a ripoff of a movie in the same administration.
You gotta wait till the regime change.
Yeah,
the power exchange.
Well, Bar, there's just way too many movies about kids overcompensating with karate. Here.
I told you, we got to free up the dojos, Bar. Look what's happening here. You got to deregulate this stuff.
By the way, there is a problem, phrasing problem here. Uh-oh. Uh-oh, Bridges.
You'll get that.
When he's talking with Noreen, is it?
Yeah, Eric? Sure.
Yes, yes, of course.
This is a quote. He says they're sidekicks, and they do things together.
Yes! Oh, I had that written down, too.
That's a real fucking problem, man.
Oops.
What do they do together? Can you lay it down,
Chuck
for me,
and Buck. Yes.
By the way, the actress's name is Julia Nixon.
Do you know who she's married to?
No.
Starsky or Hutch. One of the two.
Get out of town.
Yeah, man. She's doing all right.
That's not bad.
David Soul or something?
One of them, yeah.
She's been in other movies, too. I've seen her before.
She's been on TNG as well.
Oh, really?
I went through her... Oh, yeah. Her big movie was Rambo Part 2.
Yes.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
A couple of Magnum PIs.
Oh, really? Well, see, man, you could just get television work in the 1980s.
Yeah. Yeah, you'll figure it out. Yeah, David's, yeah, she's actually David Soul's wife.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
Which one was he?
I believe.
Was he Starsky or Hutch?
Huggy Bear?
No, it was not Huggy Bear.
Exactly. Oh, one person in our audience was screaming.
Yeah, yep, yeah, while wearing Hutch! Their fucking Starsky and Hutch t-shirt.
So, you know.
Screaming Ben Stiller. Ben Stiller.
Piscopo takes a meeting with them, and Piscopo, as always, is acting at 11.
It's so inappropriate. Like, I want to send a postcard to Aaron Norris and just be like, you know, I know that this is like 25 years ago, but why on earth did you not ask Piscopo to turn it down?
Just a little bit.
Just the tiniest bit would have made a world of difference. This is outrageous. I mean, think of it from this way. Like, if you are looking to, you know, possibly get another, like, karate pupil or whatever, like, you're a businessman, right?
Yeah.
You know, these people might want to take lessons from you and whatnot. Like, he comes into this meeting
also
screaming and yelling.
Well, Bo Bridges looks like an easy mark. It's like, oh, if your lessons cost $50 a piece, it's like $100 a piece or $200 a piece.
Sure.
Well, sure, Mr. Piscopo, absolutely.
Mr. Piscopo, yeah, okay.
Well, I think his name is Kelly Stone.
Yes, Mr. Stone.
Mr. Stone, that's all I remember.
Yeah, and it's black and gold, too, as a very Cobra Kai-esque.
Right. And well, you could argue that this movie's kind of spoofing Karate Kid in a way.
A little bit, sure.
You know, like you look at, who was that... big hunk of man meat that played.
Not William Zabka.
No, the
John
sensei.
Something or other.
Yeah, John Kreese.
John Kreese. Absolutely.
I think that was the character name.
Yes,
not
the character's
name.
Yeah, I don't know the actor's name.
But like, he's just doing like a spoof version.
Yes. Yeah. He's like totally nuts.
Well, I mean,
but why? Why are we spoofing?
Half of the dialogue is just him wild grunting.
Yes.
Which is why I imagine he took the fucking role.
You know what the other half of his dialogue is? Joe Piscopo going, and forgive me, but
he does some Asian face
like a
in the
fucking
movie.
Washed up Mortal Kombat voice actor.
And I believe he's talking about maybe running for governor of New Jersey.
He is. He's gonna run as an independent.
Oh, dude, I thought you meant the character in the movie.
The character's more qualified.
Piscopo IRL.
Yeah.
No, no. Yes.
Well, he's a failed fucking Atlantic City businessman. Like, it works.
All right. He could be president one day.
So
Oh man, let me just. That's it. I got the counter when they started talking Trump. Click, click.
But no, he. I mean, the best part is so Brandis is like, and again, Brandis doesn't know how to fucking talk to anybody because he should be on Paxil. He should be on a lot of stuff, and just calming himself down.
Probably
just
stay at home.
A healthy dose of herb, man.
Barry. No. So he's like, oh, wow, you're really good. You're almost as good as Chuck Norris. And then this makes Piscopo lose it. And he's like, I'd kick his ass. I'd kick his ass.
He doesn't compete anymore. You know why? Because I'd kick his ass. Kick his ass.
And here's the thing. This movie I found to be like watching paint dry. But
you're crazy.
I mean, you have to be. Look what we've been doing for 7 years. You got to be a little crazy. But What I was entertaining myself with, I was having my own daydreams here because I was imagining the prequel in where the
feud.
Hey,
Andrew, do you want to change the channel? No.
Yeah, I was like, oh, yeah, Joe Piscopo, let's change the channel. It was me and Joe Piscopo watching this movie, man. He was like, hey, Andrew, you want me to do Sinatra for you? I was like, yeah, go ahead.
Sing Sinatra in my failed nightclub. Ghostly scene.
Hey, Joe Piscopo, got any Eddie Murphy stories during the second act? You know I do, Andrew.
But I was imagining, how cool would the prequel be where you find out why Mr. Stone's got beef? Because every time he brings up, I'll kick his... That's the only time in this movie I was entertained.
Yeah. Oh,
I was
imagining
what Chuck Norris did to humiliate this bemulleted man. Loved it.
Because, yeah, it must have been about a woman. It could have been in Vietnam, possibly.
Oh,
yeah,
they were war buddies, you think?
Possibly.
Oh, yeah. Or enemies. I think Joe Piscopo fought for the Viet Cong. Because there is one of these fantasy sequences where they do the Vietnam War.
Oh, my God.
Jesus is embarrassing.
It's
Joe
so
Piscopo
awful.
Is
He's an Asian face. They give him makeup to make his eyes
mustache,
slanty.
Too.
It's just,
dude, I thought we were cut into a fucking Charlie Chan movie from the 1930s.
It's outrageous. It's Breakfast at Tiffany's level bad.
Man, and listen, that's a movie you can't screen theatrically.
What are you supposed to do? Watch that movie and be like, oh, that's fine.
Oh, man, look at those fucking teeth.
It's a significant portion of that movie. It's not like something you could just cut out.
It's not a cameo.
Wait, you're saying we can't do a Phantom edit?
Yeah, okay, if you want to. It's like not going to make any sense.
It's like taking Jar Jar out, right?
Sure. And that would fix that movie right
It would be great if they cut him out and they put in like Ken Watanabe doing a really serious way of doing that character. Right. And just edit it together.
No, just edit in scenes from him in The Last Samurai.
I mean, it would be less offensive.
Letters to Iwo Jima.
Yes.
Again, less offensive. Or Batman Begins. Fuck it. Why
Inception.
Not?
Fuck
I think they forgot to cut this point, and now just someone's being burned with a flamethrower. just letters from Iwo Jima. Why is this in this?
Just cuts to him at a fucking board meeting with Leonardo DiCaprio.
Sure.
Talking about the next level he's got.
That would be, again, better than what Mickey Rooney's doing in that film.
Oh, God.
But the weird thing is...
Stay tuned for that movie. Yeah. Coming up soon.
The weird thing is...
HM Classics.
I like that idea.
Jonathan Barry is so deranged just because someone he meets this guy. It's a quick meeting in a strip mall karate club.
Guaranteed strip mall. It's between a Chinese takeout restaurant and a Chinese buffet.
And he has this quick interaction. This guy talks a little bit of shit about Chuck Norris. And he's like, oh yeah, you're gonna die 1,000 deaths in my brain, because every single fantasy from then on is about Joe Piscopo, and he has nothing else to do in this movie until the end. So he's literally just like,
I just hate him. I don't know. He's a mean adult.
No, he represents everything that I hate.
And this kid, by the way, is dressed like he's in the fucking trench coat mafia the entire time.
Really? Oh, yeah.
It's fatigues.
Yeah, wait,
it's
hang on.
Long
before we
jackets.
Go, hang on a second. Younger listeners, before you start Googling that, maybe open a safe browser.
Yeah, it's
wait, why?
Well, you don't want to get put on a list. You never know.
Dude,
it's
listen,
historical.
It was historical for us. It was shocking because that was like a mass shooting. Kids today, that's just breathing oxygen.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's
it's
true.
It's nonstop people getting shot. You know, things happen. It sucks.
I don't want anybody getting in trouble or going down any rabbit holes.
I definitely don't Google that at school. That's not a great idea.
That's okay. I guess that's the tip I was looking for. Yeah. Thank you, Steve. That's not all.
NSFW, NSFS, I guess.
Yeah, NSFS. School. Yeah,
just on your own time.
By the way, We Hate Movies. We actually got a letter from some kid who listened during study hall. Listen, We Hate Movies is also NSF
everything.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Don't listen to this show, is what I'm saying. Just don't listen.
The Vietnamese thing we got into, that was just really uncomfortable. At this point, Noreen is her name. She's like, oh, my uncle is coming. I want him to take Barry under his wing.
Well, do you know who she tells about the uncle visiting?
No.
Oh, that's right. Scumbag teacher, Bud the Chud himself, Garrett Graham.
I love Garrett Graham.
Graham is great.
I honestly think when I was young and I was watching
you
this
wanted to
movie,
be Garrett Graham.
Not only that, but I was, you know, this and Philadelphia Experiment 2 was the movie I watched.
Well, of course.
I honestly thought, like, Garrett Graham is a great actor.
He's in all the movies.
Exactly.
You don't have a 10-gallon hat, though.
Hey, Eric, your parents are fighting again. I know Garrett Graham.
Okay, Garrett Graham, I'll help you design a way for a stealth fighter to go back in time to help the Nazis.
How about some chopping mall, Eric? How about that, buddy?
Yes, yes, yes.
I'm kind of a fun zombie, Eric.
You like zombies who crack jokes, don't you?
I guess so.
I'm scary and I can party, right, buddy?
But no, I love when I saw him, because I haven't seen this in a long time, I was like, ooh, Garrett Graham. I got excited.
Doesn't it make you just jump up?
I will always do that with Garrett Graham. He could pop up and, ooh, Garrett Graham, there he is again.
Right. Oh, and he was on The Critic, right?
He was, yes.
As the father.
Yeah, great role for Garrett.
Let's party with baby 37.
He's fantastic.
He's great.
Ask your grandparents about The Critic. But.
Yeah, but he's not in this movie a lot. And actually, when the movie was over with, I was like, what the hell happened to Garrett Graham?
Because he's in like two scenes.
That's also the title of Garrett Graham's autobiography, by the way.
He's like really aggressively hitting on Noreen.
Oh,
and he's being like racist. And somebody needed to tell this movie that it was 1992. You know what I mean? Like,
right, no, Steve, they did. Yeah, and 1992 was racist as fuck. It was sexist as fuck, and you could not be a gay person in this country.
I was like, Jesus Christ, was this movie written and directed by John Hughes?
It's just like, because he's like talking about like how, I don't even know, like he's like, oh, Orientals are this.
Yeah, this was more like a Milius joint to me.
Yeah. But then we cut to Mako. I've learned his name is Mako.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Twitter.
Mako is you know, coming, he's smoking a cigar in front of him smoking a cigar at the airport like you do in 1992.
And you know what? Here, we haven't done this in a while.
It's smoked good. A good cigar.
Well, yeah. Probably since your bachelor party, Eric.
Yeah.
courtesy of Eric's brother, a lot of south of the border cigars. No, but I was going to say, we sort of like, just the way the show's grown, we sort of cut out the whole like audio from the movie.
Okay, sure. Yes.
Here's a little bit of what we're about to talk about.
May I help you?
You can help everybody in this place. Tell that chink to douse that cigar. This is a public area. He's not supposed to be smoking that in here.
Yes, of course, you're right. Since we're all so similar, though, would you mind telling me which particular chink you're referring to?
The geezer in front of you, Charlie.
That dude's got problems.
And like, yeah, I know he's a bad guy, like, sure, but he's a mouthpiece for somebody in the fucking screenwriting room, right? Like,
or he's a mouthpiece for somebody in the fucking theater who's like, fuck yeah, that guy's got a point. But Mako, thank God, fucking, I guess, does a magic trick on it.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
And puts this cigar in this dude's pocket. And then, see, here's what would have been great if this dude just burst into flames. How cool would that have been?
That'd been great, man.
I just love that they set his suit on fire. Uh-huh. But then they have to add the extra dollop as the train is pulling away with Mako. He's like, oh, that's my favorite jacket.
Yeah.
And, like, the police are coming. Like, this dude is fucked. This dude is so
like
fucked.
Stomping on his jacket.
It's pretty great.
It's just crazy, and it's nuts. And it's followed up very quickly by another fucking almost hate crime, because they go to Mako is Japanese, the character is Chinese, we're just pretending that's fine, to his Chinese restaurant that he just opened in town called The Frying Dragon.
Oh, did it just open?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Okay.
The Frying, that's what he's coming to America to do.
What's funny is it's Houston, and he's coming to America to open a Chinese restaurant. And if you remember a previous film we did, Pray for Death,
yes,
was a Japanese dude coming to open a Japanese restaurant in Houston.
Yeah, it didn't work out too well for his family.
Listen, stay out of Texas. And that goes for white people, too. It's a fucking nightmare.
Just abandon it, man. Put up a fucking abandoned sign on Texas.
Just pick up Austin and move it someplace.
Yes, that would be perfect.
And you guys can keep the Cowboys. So
let's go Giants.
No, they're at his
Brandon Marshall, right, Steve?
They're at his Chinese restaurant.
Yes,
he makes them all a nice dinner. Bo Bridges, Noreen, Brandis, and Mako are sitting down, and then like they go to do the dishes, and they come back, and these like psycho hillbilly bikers show up to do this late night hate crime.
It's amazing. It's this biker gang consisting. Did you notice, by the way? It's the I'm going to see you,
yep,
guy,
oh, yeah,
from Suburban Commando, oh, and Son-in-Law.
Yeah. Yeah. I recognize him. I didn't know where.
Yeah.
Son-in-Law, I was, yeah.
We're going to see you.
Well, there's this weird idea.
It's the 90s. Yeah, we're going to see you.
It was the 90s indeed. Well, it's this weird idea where like bullies exist in all forms of life, I guess.
It's
like,
true, though, right?
I mean, that's kind of true.
I mean, come on. You're like, people are fucking always giving me fucking shit every goddamn day.
They are relentless.
I can't walk down the street in this town.
Hey, Eric, this board meeting is pretty crazy. It's me, your friend, Garrett Graham.
Snaps a pencil.
Your boss gives you way too much work, Eric.
I'm going to start doing that. It might make things a lot easier.
Oh, no. These killer robots in this shopping mall are going out of control.
Who's he talking to? Oh, this nobody character actor from the 1980s. It's fine.
Don't you call him a nobody.
No, there's this big stupid scene where Mako comes out. He pretends to be drunk, which he does a couple times in the movie.
Does he?
That's his move, I think.
It's like the drunken master.
Yes, yes.
For
yes.
the love of everything with this movie.
And he like beats the shit out of everybody in a pretty cool scene. We're going to see you, guy gets like a ceiling fan to the head for a little bit.
It was kind of awesome. This is actually a good moment in this movie because like the dude gets up and the ceiling fan is going so fast and it's like breaking off on this dude's head. It's a pretty good effect.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's great.
I liked it.
And now Mako's going to have to replace that light fixture.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, he's down a lot of money. I mean, like all of the food that they waste, the chairs that get broken.
Before
there's a good Nerds damage in this scene.
There absolutely is quite a lot of
it's
it.
It's what
there's
you
a
want.
Boiling cup of water that goes right into the nut zone.
Right before this, attempted hate crime happens. There's a moment with the teacher and Bo Bridges where they're kind of having like a. You know, this is actually where
dude,
she's
this
like,
this lady is begging him for it, and Bo Bridges can't figure it out.
Well, he's still getting over the fact that his son murdered his wife.
if Bo Bridges send it in and figure it out.
But it's crazy because she's talking about how he's like, so when did you, did you grow up here? Did your parents or whatever? So she says that her father came over here. To start a life or something. This is where I was confused because I thought she was saying that the father started the restaurant.
Oh, maybe he did. Yeah.
And so then she says that, and 8 years later, he sent for my mother to come from China, to come to America and whatnot. And then so she says something else, and then she's like, and then my dad, he died. And then she says, then 2 years ago, he sent for her again.
Oh, yikes.
Yeah. And it's like, my dad sent a death notice to my mother and called her to the afterlife.
Yeah. Maybe he got a job as the Grim Reaper.
Oh, that could be. Yeah, but then, like, Bo Bridges is just sitting there, like, how do I play this one?
Hey, Chuck, what should I say?
Does it look like I ate too much sweet and sour?
Yeah, he did. Yeah. So,
well, you know what this movie reminds me of? I just realized is that Played Against Sam, that Woody Allen movie.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it totally is like that. That's right.
Yeah,
hey, Bogey, how should I?
Oh, hey, Bogey, what's going on? I sure did love you in that one movie. Advise me on my love life. So Mako's like, all right, man, I'm going to start training you. Your first task is for the next week, you have to walk 2 miles to school instead of getting a ride with Beau Bridges.
By the way, he's asthmatic, or he believes himself to be asthmatic.
Correct. Oh, is this supposed to be psychosomatic?
Everything is, right? The brain is just damaged.
Well, I think so, because like that's later, like he goes, when we'll get to it, he has like an asthma attack. And the doctor is like, oh, his lungs are healing beautifully. I don't think he has this problem at all.
Oh, right. He's like, there's no scar tissue.
Yeah. That's not much at all.
Yeah, exactly.
This whole thing that's been going on for 13 years?
I don't know that
nonsense.
That necessarily means he doesn't have a form of asthma.
Sure.
It's just like, oh, he's not as bad as he might think
he is. It can just be cured by karate.
So well, oh, of course, Chris Cabin. We're talking about sidekicks
what
here.
What can't be cured by karate?
AIDS.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Well,
I'd also say cancer.
We'll see. We got a crack team on that.
So he starts walking to school, and now this is where things are getting really crazy, because now we hear voices in his head because he's narrating his own life, and it's like, the kid walked down the sidewalk and noticed his surroundings and all the potential victims walking
in the
neighborhood.
That's a psyche splitting in half here, right? Yeah.
You guys
it's a real split situation.
You guys don't
here.
Do that?
No.
You know what, Eric? No, we don't.
But yeah, it's demented. This is when I think he has the Nom flashback, or not Nom flashback, but...
The Nom, because the missing in action one happens twice.
Oh, that's right.
This is Nom again. And
then there's the torture one with the gym teacher.
That's well, he goes to gym class. We find out that he doesn't participate in gym. He only sits down.
I've been there, man.
Yeah, I've definitely been there. Those are the best days.
I got a fucking F in sitting. Figure that out.
By the way, my biggest note of this scene is the name of the school sports team or whatever.
You better
is
believe it.
Lamar Redskins?
Of course it's the Redskins, because how could this kids movie get any more fucking racist?
You can't blame that on 1992, because you can't blame that. It's still going on now.
I'm not saying it's yeah, but it's not that it's not racist.
Oh, no, it is, but I'm just saying you can't blame it on 1992.
Well, you got the Washington Redskins.
Yeah, sure.
I got my high school's still going Indians.
Is that right?
That's right.
Oof. We had the blue bison.
Yeah, we lucked out.
I was like, look at this mutated animal, a blue bison. That's fucked up.
Yeah, we just got Beast's pet.
Oh, right. I guess that's not even a blue ox.
No, it was a blue bison.
Oh, babe, the blue box there.
Oh, my blue bison.
So anyway, the gym teacher is Richard Mull from...
Bull from Nyquist. Speaking of bulls.
He's better than Joe Piscopo in this movie.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Like he gets it. He's doing the right thing. But it's big, but it's not too big.
It's a character that's a little more well-rounded, though, because there's a scene where Jonathan Brandis does well with like climbing a rope, and you see Richard Mull be like, well, say, that kid might not be so bad.
Well, this is the weird thing about climbing the rope. It's not this gym scene, but it's in the future. Who cares? It's like he punishes Barry. He's like, you better climb that rope, Grabinski. And he starts doing it, and everyone's laughing at him. And like he keeps calling him like lady, which is kind of weird. You know what I mean? But he's
a little strange.
Which is not – well, it's not that weird. You know,
I mean, this is a gym teacher in the 1990s.
I think I've gotten called lady in high school myself.
So he's climbing the rope, and like Chuck Norris appears like he always does. You said his name 3 times. You said bloody Chuck 3 times.
Oh, a bloody Chuck, look out for that.
And he's like, all right, Barry, he's like, I can't do it, Chuck. And everyone's like, who the fuck are you talking to?
Which is great. It's like the student's noticing what's happening.
But he's like, yes, you can, Barry. All you need, you got to use your legs instead of your arms. And like,
okay,
he knows
weird.
More than Jonathan
exactly.
Brandis would,
like,
which is
how
odd.
Is your fictional fantasy explaining things that you don't know how to do? Which stands to reason that maybe, just maybe, you know, he's doing like an astral projection.
He's
like
a doctor, you think?
Or like a Doctor Strange or something. Like he's read so many karate books. He knows how to like kick out of his body and go and help people.
Chuck Norris would be a great Doctor Strange.
He would be fantastic.
He's got a better American accent than Cumberbatch, that's for sure. That's right. I was born here.
I don't believe.
Wait. Were you, Carlos?
He was.
Here's how you make this scene interesting, by the way, because, man, what are the odds that there's a second rope just hanging there? You cut to him being like, well, now here's what you got to do to get up the rope there. And he turns like, oh, Chuck, you're here. And it's Chuck Norris holding on to an invisible rope.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's just one rope in the gymnasium,
man. Too bad Aaron Norris couldn't figure that out. How do we film that? No, let's not do that.
Yeah. Well, I think it's in his contract that Chuck Norris does not do wire work for movies directed by his brother.
By the way, his brother also directed Top Dog.
Oh, wow.
What's Top Dog?
It's Chuck Norris teamed up with a dog.
It's his canine.
Probably.
Oh, stay tuned. Jesus Christ. These are parody movies.
Yes, exactly. It's like someone's already done this better. Let's do it worse and make it funny.
So he succeeds in climbing the rope and everyone's impressed. He does have a nemesis, which I kind of wish. So his nemesis' name is Cellini. He actually winds up being Joe Piscopo's number two there in the Cobra Kai, very much like.
I thought it was Cellini.
It's Cellini.
Cellini.
That's how people yell it in this.
So, wouldn't it be awesome if, and it would make sense if he was obsessed with Van Damme and he thought like Chuck Norris was shit and like, oh man, Van Damme could kick Chuck Norris's ass and
that
you get Van Damme
Phantom fight? Like
yes.
They're both their invisible friends fight each other?
Yes.
That would be awesome.
Exactly. It would be like two wizards fighting. Like they would just be standing there with their mind. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
He's in his room shirtless staring at a cyborg poster.
Yes. Oh, that's right. I can help you through school. Hey, pick on that loser talking about Chuck Norris.
Oh, come on, Cellini. You have to put on your Hard Rock Cafe t-shirt for gym class.
Do you remember me in No Retreat, No Surrender 4? That is you.
Cellini, you're never going to be like me. You have to split. I don't care if it hurts. Split.
You're going to stretch those balls out, Cellini. Here we go.
That would actually be awesome if the two... Like, fantasies are fighting each other, but the one can't see the others. So it's like, who's he fighting? Yeah. Hey, Chuck, who are you fighting?
Oh, hey, don't worry about it. It's Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Oh, really? Oh, boy.
Hey, yeah, there's a lot of ghosts I have to fight.
Hey, Jean-Claude, who are you fighting? Don't worry, some old wash-up loser. Watch me split and kick him in the balls.
So,
is this around where Danica McKellar is like, my daddy said that your daddy or whatever that shit is?
That's because we're trying to make her Southern. You know what I mean? So it's like my daddy.
But this is why it doesn't make any sense, because you don't know the movie's set in Texas until the last 5 minutes where they're like, here's the Texas Karate Championship.
My daddy.
She's like, oh, if Cellini talked to me the way he talked to you, my daddy would, you know, bury him in a hole or something like that.
With his brother Dominic.
Yeah.
And your mom that went missing. Oh, that's right. My father killed your mother.
Anyone notice the very weird cheerleading outfit they put the kids in this movie?
You mean the cheerleaders?
Yeah. It's
well,
like
what else would they wear?
No, they're not cheerleading outfits, though. They're like weird Japanese schoolgirl outfits. They have like little like sailor.
Oh, you're right.
The
they look like Sailor Moon.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, they look like a bunch of Sailor Moons
didn't
running around.
I notice that. Maybe because we watched an episode of Pokemon recently. I just didn't notice.
It all blended together.
Exactly.
It's normal again.
That's right. Oh, I forgot
it's
about
really,
that.
Again, we're in fucking Houston. What are we talking about, movie? Aaron Norris? By the way, this movie starts with an Aaron Norris film.
Of course.
Incorrect. It's directed by Aaron Norris.
Yeah, and you know what? Not even in the opening credits. No. That's at the back end. I don't need to know that up front. I don't give a fuck.
It makes your movie look worse.
Overseen by Aaron Norris.
And I was there, Aaron Norris. But like, your star is Chuck Norris.
Mm-hmm.
It just diminishes it by saying it was directed by one of his immediate family members.
You're
especially
totally
since
right.
The whole thing is jerking off Chuck Norris for an hour and 40 minutes.
Yeah, this should be called A Fucking Favor by Chuck Norris.
Man, I read this Wikipedia thing.
Oh, I love this. Go for it.
It was like Whelan Norris, the oldest brother, was murdered in Vietnam. And then Chuck and Aaron went on to Hollywood fame. Wait. Aaron didn't go on to Hollywood fame.
Yeah,
right?
Let's relax. Only one of those brothers is doing AARP commercials.
I thought you were
going to
talk about the mattress thing.
Oh, the mattress thing is good, too. You pull that up. I don't remember that.
So this movie was filmed primarily in Houston, Texas. It was the brainchild of a well-known furniture outlet partnership with Chuck Norris and his Kick Drugs Out of School campaign. Jim Mattress Mac McInvale.
Wait, let's try that again. What Jim, is this dude's
his,
name?
His name is Jim McInvale.
Yes.
His nickname is Mattress Mac. And it produced and invested $8 million into the movie.
$8 million?
Yeah, man. It's it is believed his relationship with Chuck Norris, who he started in with many commercials with Mac, came to him with the idea of creating this film.
Hey, Mac, do you like sleeping? I do, on your mattresses.
He states that he going into the film and producing business was extremely hard work.
That's right. Thank you, Stephen. It was hard work. I'm Mattress Mac. And by the way, if you read more about my Wikipedia, you'll see that I actually helped found the Tea Party and get it started in Texas.
Oh, did he really?
Oh, yeah. I paid for out of my own pocket a lot into the periodicals around Houston saying support the Tea Party.
Oh, interesting.
I backed an ultra conservative in the race for a Houston mayor and lost big.
That's also if you Google this.
That's Mac McMattress. I lose big. That's my motto.
But I had an army of imaginary Chuck Norrises that voted for me. Why not a bunch of Chuck Norrises? If we're doing it, let's do it, man.
Dude, holy, like multiplicity. Some of them are stupid.
Oh, yeah, one's very effeminate for no reason. That'd be great.
Hi, I'm effeminate Chuck Norris. Hi, I'm stupid Chuck Norris.
Stupid Chuck Norris. Yeah. That's the most attention.
Wait, aren't they all stupid Chuck Norris?
I was gonna say,
yeah.
Low bar.
So he's like,
he's learning karate.
He's swinging dick at this point after he climbed that rope. Yeah, this is very key. So he's like, oh, hey, Winnie, you want to walk home with me or whatever? And so he kind of jumps the gun right here because he's like, so hey, Winnie, so I like you, and if you like me, why don't we go out?
Clearly, by the way, this girl pities you to death. Dude.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, let's not fuck around.
Yeah, come on. Yeah. It's Winnie Cooper we're talking about. Queen of the pitiers. What did you say about pitiers, Kevin Arnold?
I'm going to take off my Jets jacket and show you what it's like. Yeah, she's mine.
I fucking beat the shit out of Dan Loria on the set of Wonder Years.
What?
You don't think I had that pussy wrapped around my fucking finger?
What?
Oh, yeah, it happened. What? Don't tell me it didn't happen. I made it happen.
God, great.
No, but
first of all, no one can defeat Dan Loria.
Defeat Dan Loria. It's him and Brian Dennehy. Hulk versus Hulk.
Yeah, yeah. Those two might be a fucking... That's a match. That's like fucking Skull Island or whatever.
Dude, if the two of them fought each other, that's fucking 75 9/11s right there.
Exactly, but no, not even Chuck Norris could depose the mighty Dan Loria. In my mind.
And I was just imagining like Brian Dennehy taking a right cross to Dan Loria and a mushroom cloud occurring. Thousands dead.
Shazam!
So she's like, no, right?
it's the old like, well, you know, Barry, I like you, but not like that. Yeah. And then he goes on the defensive here, and he's like, oh, you pity me. Everybody said you pity me. You'll rue the day you pitied me.
Well, he's not wrong.
Well, that's the thing.
Hey, yeah. Barry, should we kill her?
Not yet, Chuck Norris, but we will. Gotta wait till she's asleep, Chuck Norris.
I was in that horror movie. We could get that one going.
Wait, Chuck Norris was in a horror movie?
Yeah, he was in horror. Like a serial killer who could, like...
Wait, what?
Reanimate himself.
What?
Are we saving this for the spooktacular? What, you're holding out on us, Kevin?
I think it's on Shudder.
Oh, Chuck Norris is killing people in this?
No, it's like a supernatural serial killer.
Is this Hellbound?
No.
Oh, wow.
It's like a two-word.
See, the thing
line.
Is, Chuck Norris movies are boring as fuck, but I think they're fertile ground. I think there's enough weird garbage in them that we could spin something.
There's even that one Chuck Norris movie that's called Weird Garbage.
Barry, are you fantasizing about weird garbage again?
Weird garbage.
I think that's what happens.
What do you monsters want to do next? I'm garbage.
That's what happens to Bill Paxton's character at the end of that movie. He turns into weird garbage.
R.I.P. Yeah.
Chuck Norris plays a garbage man.
Oh, nice. Yep.
And it's like he finds a bunch of fucking monsters in the trash,
uh-huh.
you know? And then hijinks. Sure. A little bit of hijinks. You know?
I like that.
In the middle of it, Anthony Michael Hall does like a weird black impression, and everyone's like, oh, I can't watch that movie anymore.
Oh, man. Yeah, we need a fucking super cut of that where that's just excise it.
Yeah.
It's a similar thing happens in Adventures in Babysitting.
Yep. Oh, yes, yeah. Yeah. That was funny back then. That's what you call funny back
you're
then.
You're laughing your tits off, man.
So
this is around where Bull from Night Court's a Nazi in one of these fantasies?
Yes. Oh, he's like,
yeah, dude. He's fucking like Colonel Clink.
He's a Nazi, but the setting is medieval.
It's medieval, but.
Well, no, well, it's Cabin. You've clearly never seen the Nazi-sploitation movies that Eric and I watch all
but
the time.
But also, Cabin, you fucking went to Germany for like a year.
Uh-huh.
Did you not see a fucking castle around? The Nazis had castles.
Castle Wolfenstein.
Brandis and Norris are looking like beggars.
Wolfenstein is not
historical.
Yes, it is, dude. Yeah. It was a fucking huge game in like 1989.
You know what, Steve?
They
made history in their own way.
Like tatters for clothing.
Wait, no, his victims, right?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, you're not going to put victims in good clothes.
I disagree.
Anyway.
Hats off to Sidekicks. Not a swastika to be found.
No.
Yeah,
no,
well, it's that thing where you can put a bunch of vague lightning bolts.
You got two Totenkopfs.
What?
You got a couple of Totenkopfs in there. No, the death's head of the SS.
Oh, yeah.
You'll Bull has them on his lapel.
Yeah, you can get some skulls, but it's not an honest to goodness, you know. Yeah.
I mean, the swastika is like, you know, the gold standard of Nazi symbolism.
I'm sure they had to cut.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to try to cut around all these swastikas you put in here, Aaron.
Well, I had Frank Miller over my house last night. He gave me all these swastikas.
Had him in the trunk of his car.
That fantasy sequence was long.
Oh, man. It's me and Frank Miller cleaning up the streets.
There's actually a whole other 65-minute movie right there I had.
65 minutes.
So he starts to learn karate. He starts to believe in himself. He does have an asthma attack. This is actually, it's the Nazi sequence where, like, a bull is like twisting his inside in knots kind of a thing.
And it's just like that his like psyche takes him in again.
Yes.
That's my villain again.
Yeah, exactly. Because you spoke ill of Chuck Norris once and now you're my
You're
going to die a million deaths in my brain.
He's also training with Mako.
Mako.
And there's great dialogue there to be had. Like the whole, like, you are Mr. Dumpling.
Oh, right. Oh, we got to find you a name.
Yeah.
That's their first discussion, actually, is him being like.
In the Chinese restaurant.
Yeah, when he's like, you're going to be Mr. Dumpling, not Mr. Flying Eagle or Flying Turtle or something.
Well, it's good. You got to like. You gotta pare this kid down. You gotta like break him to remake him.
And you know how you build his trust back up? When he gets put in the hospital, you, as this virtual stranger, still go into his room in the middle of the night and rub balm all over his chest.
Vicks vapor rub.
Yeah, you better pray that's what's getting rubbed on there, buddy.
He acts like it's like this vague Eastern medicine.
Yeah. Which we find out he's making all this shit up, though. Because remember, he's like, you gotta drink this 2 times a day or something like that. And then Brandis is like, okay, thanks a lot, mister. And he leaves the restaurant. And what's her name? The teacher's just like, what are you talking about? What's in that? And he's like, it's a bunch of bullshit. It's not going to kill him. Yeah, so he's just giving him like fake
mixtures.
Because
he's just like, what do white people need to, you know, okay, I'm his Asian mentor, so I'm just going to give him a bunch of bullshit, this, like, Eastern mysticism. Yeah.
Mako's like the fucking Sidekicks Kaiser Soze, man.
But the weird thing is, so they're getting really close together. They're training, the teacher does this, like, goes to Bo Bridges' house.
Yep.
Does this weird floor routine, puts on these pants where she's everything.
She's doing some Tai Chi, man.
Uh-huh. And then, like, Mako and Brandon's like, well, let's go train. And it's just her and him. And he's like, wow, you're really good at that. And she's like, I know. And he's like, I could never be so elegant. I'm like, Bo Bridges, you are fucking this up. Like, everyone is gone from the house.
I imagined myself a beautiful butterfly, but I can no longer fly.
She's like, dude, what the fuck are you doing, Bo Bridges?
Dude, I mean,
close this deal.
What shade of green are you waiting for?
Exactly. The signals. My eyes are burning.
So he's like, oh, there's no way I could be as coordinated as you to do all this. Like, I don't have, you know, my brain can't do that. And she's like, it's not in my brain. It's in here. And she puts her hand on his chest. And he's like, oh, is that? Oh, my heart. Well, how would my heart do it? Like, maybe I should research this on the computer.
Oh, do you mean my flab?
Oh, exactly.
Yeah, suck my cholesterol. Yes, I have been watching it lately.
Oh, it's in my man tits. I get it.
Bo Bridges, you were a 3. This woman is a 10, and she is throwing herself at you. Come on. So, I mean, like a good Karate Kid ripoff. I mean, this all kind of Cellini and what's-his-face and Brandis fight in school, and he's like, "You can't pick on me anymore, Cellini. I've been taking karate lessons."
Yeah,
like
so's Cellini for longer than you.
Yes, exactly.
But this is like they get in this fight or whatever, and Bull from Night Court is like, "All right, Cellini, hit the showers," and he's like, "Hey, Barry, nice job, kid, beating the shit out of that other student of mine. I'm a responsible teacher.
Hey, want to come over to my house and drink later?"
It'll be fine if you and your friends come over and drink, just so long as you don't drive anywhere. I'm there to watch you.
Yeah, you can bring the invisible people.
Yeah, every last one of them. I got room. Ever since my wife left.
All the invisible.
Yeah, my wife is an invisible.
What's your guy's name? Chuck. Oh, yeah, bring Chuck.
Speaking of Chuck, by the way, so this is from when he gets out of the hospital. It's like hospital into training montage, yeah, into fighting Cellini, into another montage. At one point, I was sitting there and I was like, oh, wait a second. Where the fuck is Chuck Norris in this Chuck Norris movie? There's like a solid 25 Chuck Norris free minutes in this movie.
I feel like you had him for like a couple of weeks. You know what I mean? That's what it is. I think.
But that's like, what's crazy, though, is like all of these different fantasies are different movie setups. I mean, this has taken a long time for Chuck Norris.
Yeah, that's true.
I feel like he's popping in like maybe every other day or something.
And Cellini's starting to make appearances in these fantasies, too. There's one where Joe Piscopo's running like a pinata factory that's full of like open vats of chemical waste,
and it should just be drugs, like, you know what, yeah, I mean, yep. Yes. You're watching Chuck Norris movies, it's cocaine.
That's what they're alluding to, I guess.
There's like different like parade floats and shit. It's actually like the end of Hard Target.
Yeah,
the shootout in that parade factory, the float factory.
And Brandis gets a mullet in this
yes,
scene.
Matching mullets,
mullet.
It's so cool.
And every time this kid has a fucking gun, it really creeps me out. It's him with like a little sawed off shotgun.
Where he brandishes the bazooka, yeah, and Chuck Norris is just nodding like, mm-hmm.
Well, that was, I mean, the assault rifle in the Vietnam sequence. Yeah. That was a lot.
Well, there's also an Old West one where he gets made fun of.
Oh, God,
for drinking
I forgot
milk.
About that.
Oh, that one's really stupid. That's where they call him like, it's like something and milk, little something.
It's like, there's the big wolf. Little Wolf,
yeah,
too.
Big Wolf and Little Wolf, or something
dude,
like
that's
that.
Fucking great.
They drink milk together.
Lone Wolf and Little Wolf.
Lone Wolf and that doesn't even make sense. Why would Lone Wolf be with a Little Wolf?
If he's a lone wolf, it's just him.
And like yet again, his English teacher almost gets raped, and like he saves her, and it's like, ew.
Where is it though? Where Danica McKellar?
Oh, this is the punk hellscape, right?
Yeah, exactly. And Cellini is like dressed like the Joker.
Yeah. Oh,
this
God.
Is part of the open vat. Ecstasy Factory or whatever the fuck it is.
And this is probably the longest of all
nothing.
Of them, right?
Yeah. This is my problem with this movie. One. My biggest problem with this movie is these things mean nothing.
No.
Like, if it was a thing...
Andrew.
No, they're not. They're not fun. They're not
fun.
Funny. They're not fun.
They're funny and fun.
No, they're not. Here's the thing. If it was, like, a continuous story and it's one fantasy and it's him and Chuck Norris chasing down a cartel or whatever the fuck... And in those fantasies, there was its own story that you're completing.
It's just like,
yeah, fine.
It's just Black Rain for like,
yeah, sure,
like 80 minutes,
yes,
of this movie.
But it's like, we're just jerking off till we get to this fucking, sure, karate tournament.
Dude, this kid is jerking off to those Chuck Norris movies.
Oh, rubbing it raw. You better believe it, dude.
Well, I was curious. Does he watch like edited Chuck Norris movies? Like, is that why like everything he thinks is all like bubblegum and horseshit?
The only
because,
time
like,
we see
Bo
him
Bridges
watching,
is cutting shit out.
Well, we see him watching a Chuck Norris movie earlier in the film, yeah, and it's on a television.
Yeah.
So he might be watching all edited right. for television cuts.
Yeah, they would. I think that's missing in action.
No. Is it?
Watch. I'm almost positive.
Are we? Well, that. So that was actually about you guys have been talking about these, and I'm just kind of like not. Asking what I should have asked you at the beginning,
okay.
Like,
you
are
know?
are we parodying actual Chuck Norris movies? Is
most
that the idea?
Of these are, I think.
Okay,
I think some of them are. Yeah,
that is definitely missing in action is now, definitely like a Vietnam
Chris
type
Cabin,
thing.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I believe Missing in Action is. Oddly enough, I think he goes back to Vietnam after like the war and starts murdering people and trying to free POWs.
Oh, something Jesus.
To that effect. It's a weird thing. If you watch the Canon documentary, you know that the first one was the second one, and the second one was the first one.
Oh, wow.
And for the folks at home, that's Electric Boogaloo.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Great such a fucking fun movie. I love it.
But anyway, yeah, and also the Power Mullet one is also definitely a takeoff of like one of his I Want to Be Seagal movies.
What's that movie he did, like Octagon something?
The Octagon.
Yeah. It's just called The Octagon?
Yeah, yeah. I think it's what, cage fighting or something?
Yeah, something to that effect.
It's boring as fuck.
It is not good.
Hey, speaking of boring as fuck, let's drive this movie to a halt to go to the zoo.
When, yeah. Oh, right.
They go to the zoo in this movie for no reason.
Or a sexy date at the zoo.
A sexy date at the zoo. Well, he was going to go. He had a sexy date with makeup.
Look at those fucking lions. Oh, my God.
Mako.
Sexy date at the zoo.
He had a date with his karate instructor.
Yeah, oh,
even though I don't know I don't even know if it's karate or it's kung fu or what.
Yeah, well, I don't
either. Anyway, martial artist instructor. And Winnie Cooper asks him what he's doing this week, and he says he's going to go to the zoo. And then she like kind of invites himself along.
Very rude.
And now this poor old man is like a third wheel.
Yep.
You know?
It's,
like,
it's so fucking rude. I couldn't believe it.
He had a date with his pupil.
The weird thing is, though, like a little bit of this movie is like things to do in Houston. Are you in Houston?
Yeah, Aaron. Maybe you could do a few things about how to do it. You know, I made a deal with the Chamber of Commerce.
You know, maybe at one point here, your boy character there and the great Chuck Norris, the greatest man that ever lived, maybe they come into my mattress store and
here,
do some karate training on mattresses.
Here are the top five barbecue spots.
Hey, Chuck Norris, I can't believe we're eating at the number two barbecue spot in Houston.
Hey, Barry, this event hall is great for corporate events. It's actually pretty reasonable, too, Barry.
You know what? You could actually have a pretty sharp wedding reception in here,
Barry. Oh, man.
High school reunion? No problem.
Mako has a great, great line at this zoo when he's like, the lesson is not over, right? Like, he's teaching this kid the way of the world and stuff.
Sure, sure, sure.
Way of the future.
He's like, you see the tortoises? When you do something truly great, the tortoise will dance.
What does that even mean?
I don't
it doesn't
know.
Mean anything.
You ever see a turtle dance?
That's the thing. He's just been feeding this kid a load of shit.
Yeah. Brandis's character is full up on bullshit in this movie.
Well, I feel gonna like make the kid hallucinate
when he was in China, which is where he's from. I say that because he's Japanese. But like one of his buddies was like, he's like, oh man, when you go to America, what you need to do is find like a nerdy white kid and just. I did this last summer. It was so great. Pretend like you're teaching him martial arts and just fill it. A, he'll clean your house. B, you can tell him whatever you want. Like, if you have any menial labor, you can be like, oh, it's training. This kid will give you money. Oh, man, just find one, latch on, and just make it up as you go.
That's the thing.
It's a blast.
Mr. Miyagi was the king of the fucking scam.
Oh, yeah, totally.
So
dude.
Great, dude, man. Sanded that fucking fence, painted, do everything.
Mm-hmm. Wash my fucking car.
He had a spick and span home for 25 years. Didn't pay one person to clean.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh yeah, you're learning how to do a straight punch. I'll teach you a straight punch.
Once in a while he gave them rice.
Yeah.
Speaking of grifting, by the way, in one of the several training montages, it's like Jonathan Brandis learning to use nunchucks on a hill and he's getting really good at it.
Oh god.
But we're seeing it from the perspective of Mako, who is sitting grifting a bunch of teenage girls in the park.
I think he's doing three card Monty.
Or the Chinese version of three card Monty. I didn't recognize it.
His buddy's
it.
Like, oh man, you gotta go to the park. This kid's gonna be you're gonna make so much fucking money.
So finally we're gonna enter this karate tournament.
Because Cellini challenges him. Like after the fight, he's like, what are you here? You think you're so great even though you just beat the shit out of me? Meet me in a more restrained way where we won't actually fight, but we'll actually compete. Wait, what? Like, just go fucking fight this kid.
Oh, Cellini, you did it again, you idiot. God, you're so stupid, Cellini.
Just go to the park and beat the shit out of this
kid. Or a parking lot.
Yeah, exactly.
Anywhere.
Like, just don't be like, all right, now we're going to do it. In school, we got broken up, but we're going to do it at a karate tournament, which is much more structured, and I can't even touch you there. See you there, loser.
It's a point system.
I'm going to beat you on points, just like boxing. Everybody loves it in boxing when that happens.
How you do on bricks. Points. You ready for the bricks?
Yeah. So this fucking tournament, by the way, makes no sense at all. At least
no sense.
At least like the All-Valley tournament.
Oh, that, God. That takes, you're praying for the All-Valley watching this movie,
that
man.
Takes place on the planet Mars because it's so fucking red there.
Yes.
It's a bunch of kids. They're all in the same age range and they fucking fight each other.
Yeah.
It's a kid fight club. That's what I understand it. It's like, and the one who wins, wins. This is, I guess every team is consisting
kid
of four.
Kid fight club.
It's a little kid fight club. It's four people. One has to be a woman.
Yep.
One has to be, I guess, an old man.
Yep.
And one.
No, you don't have an old man. Sorry.
Over 35.
Well, then
it's a team competition.
There's a middle-aged white man and then a young white boy.
Yes, that's what every single team is made of. Because you go, they go. It's going to be Mako, the teacher, and Brandis, and they're like, oh, and like they're signing up day of. Like, what fucking competition of any kind you could register? You walk in, register.
This was making my skin crawl because this would not be acceptable at the All Valley.
No,
you know what? No, it would be because they get. A ringer, dude. They get Chuck Norris, which is also, you know, maybe they shouldn't accept it because it's just like, okay, now Chuck Norris's team's going to win.
Right.
And spoiler, he does.
They're like, oh, hey, wait, you got Chuck Norris. Wait, is this a plot of a movie? Because he's definitely going to win if this is the plot of a movie.
What are all of those cameras doing behind you guys?
On the other end of the spectrum, it's like, wow, if Chuck Norris competes in this thing, that's great. Publicity for next year.
Right. Sure.
So it's kind of like maybe.
Actually, Kevin, your thing about what are all these cameras doing here reminded me. You guys ever see that great Twilight Zone where that dude is like a businessman and he's like, all right, secretary, I'll see you tomorrow. And all of a sudden, he's on the set of a television show.
Oh, weird.
And his life is a television set.
Oh, the Truman Show.
And they're like,
you're
no,
thinking of the Truman
no,
Show.
No, I'm not. Steve, I can't believe you haven't seen this episode.
I have not. Yeah,
and they're like, you know, he's like, you know, Mr. You know, Frederick, whoever, mm-hmm. And then like you hear like cut, and he's on a set, and they're like, "Hey, Dave, what are you doing?" And this dude's like, "What?" It's awesome. That would be great if that happened in this movie.
Did you ever see the Chuck Norris Twilight Zone episode?
What? Really? Yeah, no. You know, I think whenever Daniel Day-Lewis wraps a movie, that's what happens to him.
That's exactly true. Yeah.
What? You mean I'm not an oil prospector?
I'm not Lincoln.
Oh my god.
Oh, that's Mr. President. Wait, what?
Wait, I'm not Danny and Rose? Did anyone see that movie? No one, huh? Weird.
I kind of wanted to fuck my daughter on an island.
Actually, this scene, like we're going to enter this tournament, is my favorite scene in the movie.
When Chuck Norris is talking to all these security dudes.
No, well, that's pretty great.
That's my favorite scene.
When he's rapping about like old karate circuit stories. Yeah. But before that, when they go to try to sign up, this is the most deplorable character in this film. This fucking sign-in guy.
Oh, yeah.
This smarmy fuck.
He's mad with power because he's getting all these day of registrations. Get the fuck out of here.
Dude, this guy is getting off on turning these people away, and it was making my blood boil. He's just like, oh, I'm sorry. It's teams of four or nothing. And they're like, well, we just thought we'd participate as a team of three.
Excuse me. That guy is not 70 years old. He can't be part of your team. but actually dogs are okay too because everyone's just fighting each
dogs.
Other. Like,
that'd be great if there was a dog round.
Dude, a fucking karate dog fight. They have to be, it's like, oh shit, you've got no one for the dog round. You got Chuck Norris now. Okay. Oh wait, what? Michael Vick's in the parking lot.
Oh my god, heaven.
Actual Chuck Norris is at this tournament.
Just hanging out, and like he bumps into Joe Piscopo and he's like, good thing you're not competing, Chuck, or I'll kick your ass. And he's like, yeah, whatever, Stone. And then Eric's favorite scene happens. Yes. It's him and like all these like security
all
guys.
All these mulleted dudes, like just fucking, like these dudes in these like blazers that are just like running security or have run security.
Chuck Norris has known all of those dudes for at least 35 years.
It's great because right after Piscopo, he turns to the guys and he's just like, boy, that guy hasn't changed at all, right? Because you know now there's a history. Everybody knows that that guy is the biggest asshole.
Again, yeah. I want that movie. Dude, doesn't that sound awesome?
How about that movie? It's like a Cassavetes-esque movie. Chuck Norris hanging out with all these fucking
security
guards.
It's like The Wrestler.
Yes.
Well, that's the thing. That's why I feel bad for Chuck Norris at the end of this movie, because Chuck Norris is like, look, I'm going to go back to this place, like, you know, kind of reminisce, maybe tell some of the old stories, sit in my old chair,
get a Salisbury steak try afterwards.
Like, lay low, man. You know, keep a low profile.
Chuck Norris could get Salisbury steak down at Lou's afterwards. You know, maybe put that in the movie. You know, it's helped drum up some business.
You know, the thing, if Chuck Norris eats too much steak down at Lou's, he needs to take a little food nap. He can go to my mattress store.
My brother is taking a bath on an indoor go-kart rink. Is there any way we could incorporate that in the film? He's taking a real...
you get the little kid in the go-kart. It's not that hard. Just do it.
I told Frank, you don't put a batting cage in the middle of the go-kart rink, but he wouldn't listen to me.
You just cost me $8 million. You don't want to cost a Texan $8 million.
How hard is it to put balls in a pit?
They can go to an arcade, can't they? They're kids. I got a bunch of friends who own arcades.
Some used Area 51s in here, at least.
I got that ball pit. That needs to be in the feature. That just needs to be in the feature. Listen, you got what is his name? Mako? All right. He's got a funny bald head, right? Put him in the ball pit. Fucking writes itself. It's fucking comedy.
I got a used car dealership. Chuck Norris needs to buy a car to get to the arena. There you go.
Look, how is my friend Dennis supposed to know that nobody gives a shit about drive-in movie theaters anymore, right? He is fucking drowning right now. Appearance in this film would help him out.
Got me a lot of Ford trucks. Trucks.
So you got your invisible... Okay, I don't care if he's invisible. He's an invisible friend. You got a visible guy driving a truck down the street. That's funny. That's just funny. You put that in the movie. Show the Ford logo.
This Holly weird isn't so hard.
Norris has driven a car in a movie before. Why don't you make a fantasy about him driving a used car from my lot out?
The movie is over, right? Over the credits, we go to the pizzeria that I own. It's a pizzeria that I own, and they're eating pizza, and they're like, wow, what a great pizza. What a great movie we just had. It's and then the credits can go over it. It's fine.
It's an authentic, thick crust Texan pizza.
I'm sure in one of his movies, now he's gone to a nail salon.
Let me ask you guys this. Do you think, and this is a question for my brother-in-law, Dave, Chuck Norris has ever been in a movie where he has had to visit a for-profit prison?
Maybe he's got those guard friends. Maybe they work at the prison.
Does Chuck Norris show up to the karate tournament naked? Oh, no, he doesn't. So he should go to my brother's tailor shop. That's you get some premier slacks. You get a bolo tie. Yeah, I mean, that's what a clothing store is for. That's what makes sense.
Oh, one condition. He does need to wear a windbreaker that says Lou's Famous Steaks Chops.
Chop House.
No, so Noreen goes up and she's like, hey, I know you're busy, Chuck Norris. I know the last thing you want to do is actually compete today, by the way. But
Chuck Norris, by the way, thinks that this conversation is going to take him down a whole other avenue. Uh-huh.
This is a sex talk. He's like, excuse me, guys, I'm going to have sex with this woman now. Oh, she wants me to compete and then I'll have sex. Okay.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to get dicey after the show.
Yes, absolutely.
Bo Bridges has to be like, what are you doing with my lady friend, man?
No, please. Bo Bridges is going to go jerk off in the parking lot.
But
there's going to be a big old stutter.
And I will say this: it's so that they go back to the snooty registration guy, and this is when you realize that Chuck Norris can't act, because it is it's Mako, it's Noreen, it's Jonathan Brandis, and Chuck Norris all in the same shot, and everyone else is like holding the frame, and Chuck Norris is just like, Aaron, did you call cut yet? Aaron, is this cut? What's cut? He's just not there.
Yeah.
So the competition is as such. We start with Mako breaks all these bricks. It's pretty cool. He beats Cellini in the brick break.
Yeah, and this is it's so great what happened in the aftermath of Mako's brick break, because we've got these two also be mulleted announcer characters.
Oh, those guys are awesome.
God.
So this is the line of business we need to get into. Fuck Patreon, which is doing very well, and I thank everybody, but we need to do local karate tournaments.
Or just listen,
add color to local karate tournaments.
Useless announcers for any event.
Sure.
But so this thing happens and they're all like, oh, look at this old man in a gardening hat. Like, he can't break all these bricks.
Guy is gonna break a brick in an apron, and he's asking for another brick.
And he's pretending to be drunk for no reason.
You're right. And then so what happens is he successfully does this, to which one of these announcers, as if channeling Dennis Miller, is like,
hey, we're going to be eating humble brick here, babe. Shut the fuck up, Fred.
You know what, Aaron? I was on the way here. I was listening to KRPR1, and there is a great morning show. They have to be in the movie. You know what? They are in the movie.
Also, I've
Scott
got
and the fart, they're in the movie. Also, the fart is great.
Scott's kind of a racist, but I get over it.
He's got to mention Humble Brick. I got a brick warehouse down on 9.
Humble Bricks.
It's called Humble Bricks, yeah. That's right. And it just, you know what? All right, you don't have to do the whole plug. Just say Humble Brick. Locals in the brick industry will know what I'm talking
Guess
about.
Guess what? Guess what? Bricks are in the movie? Somebody's got to get the bricks to come to the crowded place.
Sounds like a perfect job for Humble Brick.
You got to buy those bricks from Humble Brick. I know you have props and whatnot, but no, you got to buy my
props
bricks.
Props and whatnot.
You got to buy my bricks.
What's her face? Noreen does her floor routine. She actually loses because for some reason, because
woman can't catch a break. Yeah.
She just can't catch a break. And finally, the other reason that Chuck Norris decides to join this, aside from definitely trying to have sex with this woman, is he's like, I'm going to teach that stone a lesson, Joe Piscopo. So finally, it's the fight everybody wanted, which happens kind of almost in the middle of the climax. It really should be the climax.
Right, yes. But because it's here's what you are tricked into thinking. You're tricked into thinking that this is a Chuck Norris movie, and it's not.
It's a Jonathan Brandis and Mako movie.
Barry Wary movie.
Yeah, that's for Barry Wary.
He fights Chuck Norris. He beats the shit out of him. It's a little too cartoonish for my taste.
I had a real problem with this fight scene because there's not a lick of karate to be found. No. We're just like throwing people and punching each other in the face.
It's like light boxing.
Yes.
But then there's some hilarious shit of like, well, hilarious. As a child, it was amusing. With Joe Piscopo, like, flipping around.
Yeah, sure. Physics is defied for no reason.
Oh,
why not?
For that shot, my buddy Tommy owns a Discovery Zone in the area, and you've got one of those, like, zero-G spinning majiggers. I got a lot of money in that, so that's in the movie.
I really need help here, is what I'm saying.
I can put up the $8 million up front, but I need money on the back end.
So my nephew, he deals illegal steroids, and Piscopo's gotta get that stuff somewhere.
Piscopo is looking cut as fuck in this movie. I was very suspicious.
He's also raging out this entire second.
Dude, man,
he is grunting wildly again.
Because his balls are raisins. He's so much roids in him. I'm telling you, dude, his balls are.
Oh no, he definitely was. I mean, like, I don't know this for a fact. I have no inside info. I haven't read the Joe Piscopo story, but like, he's got that big beefy roid body, not the HGH body now that we now have, where it's all chiseled and like whatever. But now this is like old school, good old fashioned white steroids.
He doesn't look like a clover field.
No,
so
yes, exactly.
Right? And he's flexing all over this finals, like, because he's ripping his shirt off because like they kind of are doing it. They got boxing gloves on and whatnot, and then he's like, oh no, here we go, Chuck Norris, we're gonna fucking do it now, baby. And he like rips the gloves off. He fucking tears his shirt off like Hulk Hogan.
But I mean, like, in the real world, the Joe Piscopo would beat Chuck Norris because, like, really? he hasn't trained for this fight,
right?
You know, he's not in shape. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, if Joe Piscopo's doing this shit every day and Chuck Norris is just doing it for movies, like,
right?
You know what I mean? It's not,
Chuck Norris is getting ready to read the pilot to Walker Texas Ranger at this point.
I guarantee you, if Michael Jordan went to a street basketball competition, he'd get his ass kicked by some 20-year-old.
Because that's
how that shit works.
Yeah.
So then it's like the final breaking contest.
Oh, no, we have to get into Barry wins.
Right.
The nunchuckus. So he comes out with nunchucks.
Right.
Which, I think this was before we realized that nunchucks were really dangerous for kids.
Oh, sure. Well, that was like, you know, you could fool parents in the 90s into thinking that you get like a legit pair of nunchucks and it's like,
and he's got these
toys.
Metal nunchucks, and he's doing it, and it's Brandis, and I'm like, oh, that's cool. Like,
yeah.
But I'm like, but they've already shown some other floor routines of weapons. Like, there's this
dude
really
with a
cool
sword
swords.
Or something.
I'm like, wow, how is he going to beat these guys? The way they do it is he turns into a 50-year-old man in a white ninja outfit,
and he does this incredible.
I'm pretty sure he's like a 50-year-old Asian man in a white ninja outfit.
Yeah,
it's just insane. Like, they zoom in on him and then they zoom out and he's the white ninja, and it's just a completely different body.
Yes.
Like, he's increased his body mass by like 30%. Which, I mean, I do fantasize. When I have my own fantasies, I do think about increasing my body mass.
Yeah, it's you and Garrett Graham going to the gym.
I'll spot you, Eric.
We'll get that Joe Piscopo one day.
But the weird thing is,
that's
like,
when I walk into the gym. It's me and Piscopo.
Oh, God, dude. Don't let Graham see it.
Those ghosts are going to fight. But the weird thing is, like, shouldn't the end of this movie be like, or at least once Mako goes up to him, he's like, well, you know, to be a great martial arts master, you need to be present in the moment and stop fantasy. Like, he should destroy his fantasies at some point.
Right. We need to stop that. And it needs to stop.
He does not do that.
No. Let's pour some gasoline on it, because now know the guy.
You're just encouraging the madness.
Now you know that the guy said, what did he say, pinch me, when he met him?
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Like, it's really...
Well, that's the weird thing. Is like, wouldn't you freak the fuck... If I've been fantasizing about nothing but Chuck Norris, and then Chuck Norris is like, hey, Barry, I'm in your real life. I'm like, oh, fuck! Somebody's got to take me to the hospital right now.
What's reality?
Hey, Barry, you should kill your teacher. But I like her. She's nice. Yeah, you should still kill her, Barry.
That's not your real teacher, Barry. That's the devil in disguise.
Exactly.
Take me to the hospital right now, because I'm definitely going to have this erection for more than 4 hours.
Yes, it is crazy. You should be freaking out a little more. So now what happens? They all, like, he wins the
nunchucks. It's a tie. Yeah.
It's a tie between the Frying Dragon Dojo and
whatever the
Piscopo Townies Dojo.
I think it's a stone.
So it's like, oh, you get to choose. All right, since the Frying Dragons won the coin toss, they get to choose both the participant and the challenge. And
they choose the participant, and then the Stone Dojo chooses the challenge.
Yeah, it should have been Chuck Norris versus that little kid in a fight. Like, it's just like, it's just him fucking housing a 16-year-old boy. Awesome.
But you know, Mako walks over and it's just like, immediately, it will be Barry. You know, like, no questions. Like,
sure.
And he just says, like, oh, Barry has, this means, like, he's got a lot to prove. Like, this could be devastating for Barry if this doesn't go right. So it should be Barry.
He's got the most to lose. Put him up there. Yeah.
Beau Bridges has some line right here where he's like, well, you've already proven yourself, son. So just get out there. And he says something like, well, do whatever you're going to do.
Yeah.
And I'll be over at the concession stand not paying attention.
I'll be eating cheap nachos.
There will be cheap nachos in this scene, right? Because my cousin Ted is really drowning in debt at the cheap nachos.
He's got a side pickled jalapeno business.
Listen, don't ask me how, but we just came into a whole truckload of nacho cheese. Got to unload this nacho cheese.
It's literally just a truck filled with cheese.
Found it right on Highway 62. Would not believe.
It might not be 100% cheese, but we need to sell. Okay, it's 10% cheese, but we need to sell this stuff.
Beau Bridges will eat it. Have you seen that guy? That guy will eat anything.
Look, don't your weird Hollywood set need, you know, craft services. Just eat a bunch of my fake cheese.
No. Nacho cheese is supposed to be white.
Listen, you give me $1 million back, and I supply the craft services of just nacho cheese sauce. You get the chips.
BYOC, man.
Hey, this is great nacho cheese sauce. And it's just Chuck Norris dipping his face into a bowl of nacho cheese and eating.
That's a commercial I'd love to see.
No, Chuck's got to blow a bubble in that.
Slurps it off his face like Scooby.
Oh, man.
God.
So it's brick breaking, and I mean, like, Chilino and Barnes, injury attorneys. He breaks all these bricks, and then it's like 8 bricks, and then like it's up to Barry to do 9, and then Mako, I don't know if this is legal or what, lights the bricks on fire.
I don't know what the deal is there.
I mean, like,
I think it's meant to look more impressive, but I distinctly remember watching this as a kid, and my older brother did martial arts when we were growing up, and he was just like, that's cheating, because
it would weaken the brick, wouldn't it?
Exactly, yeah. He says it would weaken the brick, and it's
is that right?
Yeah,
of course it would.
Because it's like, you know, it's softening it.
How's he getting away with this?
Extreme cold or extreme heat would soften.
Because it's
a
fucking fantasy land.
Well, there's an asterisk on this picture.
He's back at his house his fucking gym shorts. This is all fantasy.
Looking back at the Houston karate tournament, he's like Pete Rose or something. Yeah, sure, he kind of did it, but nah.
That's Mako, man. He's definitely gambling.
Hey, Aaron, I know this is the end of your movie. It's the climax. It's the most important scene. Is there any way to work in my buddy's lighter fluid business into it? Genuine Texas burn it down lighter fluid. That's the brand. It's great.
And Max Zippo outlet.
So he breaks the brick and he fucking wins.
They
the
win,
day.
Whatever.
Yeah. And he has a scene with Chuck on the bench.
This now, is a bone chilling twist ending.
This is also where it might actually be all in his head, and this never happened.
Yeah. There's two things to point out here. Because, yeah, he's like, well, I did a Chuck Norris. And he's like, yeah, well, you know, it's all because you're great. And I'm a great actor. And, yeah, it was a lot of fun. And he's like, all right, Chuck Norris, I'm going to take this magazine with your picture on it and go over to my dad and new teacher mom. And then he turns around and Chuck Norris is gone.
You know, you folks can rent this movie at Popcorn Video down on Route 7 in Houston once this is
now,
all over.
Now serving red vines.
No, I'm sorry.
So he turns around and Chuck Norris has vanished. And it's like, oh, he was talking to the fake Chuck Norris, which is two things.
Oh.
One, he's still fucking crazy, so that's dangerous and sad. But also, how about Chuck Norris just leaving this tournament without saying goodbye?
He ghosts this tournament. He doesn't want to bury it at all.
Or was tournament Norris imaginary Norris the whole time? Like, I know he was talking to imaginary Norris, but maybe it was all fake.
I'm telling you, he's back at home.
It's all
staring up at his fucking code of silence poster.
He's just been sitting
there fucking jerking off in his gym shorts.
Yes, he's just been edging for the entire runtime of this movie that was fake.
And then he does a double fucking thing for the nunchuck thing.
Yeah, that's how he does it.
He inceptions himself.
But the weird thing is, so that happens, and then like, he has this like grody ass karate magazine that he leaves on the bench. He walks
which the
off
cover, the cover which dude. He's taped back together after Cellini tears it in half. By the way,
and there's some water damage.
yeah, we're talking a couple of pages stuck together.
Oh, it's quite crispy.
Crispy.
Oh, yikes!
So he walks away. He walks with his dad, and they go, "Yeah." And this kid is like, oh, cool. Garbage.
a kid in a wheelchair,
well, it's
by
a
the
twist
way.
Wheelchair, because you don't know he's in a wheelchair.
Yeah, totally.
Like, oh, awesome. It's garbage. And he's like, I could never afford a karate magazine.
And then we pan back, and then we get a plug-in from my wheelchair factory.
Wheelchair factory. I don't care. Yeah, I know wheelchair kids can't do karate. I don't care.
But that was my question. I mean, is that a sequel setup?
I hope so.
It's like Chuck Norris is going to help this kid out?
That would be great.
You just have to first become deranged and dangerously obsessed with Chuck Norris. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then he comes to you in visions, and maybe he'll help this kid through his paralysis.
You know, Steven, those invoices aren't going to file themselves.
Yeah.
I'm Chuck Norris. Let's get through this together.
The score in this movie is like if Dan Deacon made racist Asian electronic music.
Yeah.
And it's the same fucking song over and over and over. We close out the film with it.
Sure.
It's awful.
Hey, we don't have any money for music. My blues band burned to the ground last night.
Yeah, both of the white guys from my blues band died, so we can't do that anymore. That's just over. By the way, in the ceremony, when they do win, there's a classic moment of two guys in the audience trying to high-five, and they miss.
Oh, I missed that. Really? Oh, yeah. Fuck.
I just tried to demonstrate it, folks at home, and I just hit the microphone.
There you go. Would anybody recommend this movie?
I would. It's a cool 95 minutes. It's silly.
Oh, it's cool.
It's just 90. It's just 90s enough. I've seen this a bunch growing up. I really thought that Chuck Norris was a genuine star because of it. I was duped. I kind of have to recommend it. I don't know if I'll ever watch it again, but I would recommend it if you haven't seen it.
I would also recommend it. I think it, you know, even though I saw it a bunch growing up, and it does, you know, it doesn't hold up. It's full of problems, obviously.
It's kind of a hangover
but
movie.
Exactly. It's kind of fun and dumb, and it's a great window into what the 90s were, which was wall-to-wall racism.
Yeah. Yep. That's the way we like it, Bar.
For that, I think it's a seeing is believing more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's just such an oddity.
Yes.
Like, on almost every level. I mean, even as far as, and I mean, I knew that there was, the amount of Karate Kid knockoffs, it was just,
sure,
you were drowning him.
Yeah.
But like, this one is really uniquely strange.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a no for me. I don't give a shit about this movie. Go watch Last Action Hero. It's the same thing, but better. I will say what this movie did inspire me to do is check out other boring-ass Chuck Norris movies.
Yeah. I feel like I
so folks, that- folks at home, like tweet at me at Jupin some worthwhile boring ass Chuck Norris movies.
Whatever the one on Shudder is the one I'm talking.
That's what I'm going to check out tonight. I mean, Chuck Norris in a horror movie, a boring horror movie.
No, that's just funny to me.
That's Sidekicks from 1992, directed by Aaron Norris, brother of Chuck Norris. If you want more WHM, check out WHMpodcast.com or find us over on HeadGum's network page. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. We're at WHMpodcast. And, of course, right into the mailbag, weallhatemovies@gmail.com. Rate and review the show wherever you download us and subscribe to us. We'd greatly appreciate it. Next week on the program, a little bit of a thing folks have been asking for. It's our live episode on Howard the Duck, recorded just a few weeks back in Brooklyn, New York at the Bell House, which reminds me, by the way, you're getting your summer vacations all in order and planned and whatnot. Make sure you are in Brooklyn for August the 5th. We return to the Bell House to close out the summer, talking about none other than Mac and Me.
Ew.
Oh, slimy E.T. ripoff.
Tickets have been on sale for a while, so you want to get on that soon.
Totally. We had a lot of fun at the Bell House last time. I know a lot of people got shut out of that Howard the Duck show, man. You don't want to miss it.
And don't get shut out this Thursday if you're listening to this the day it comes out.
That's right.
Yes. Because we're going to be at the Punchline in Atlanta talking Friday the 13th, Part 7. It's going to be great. Tickets online at punchline.com.
There it is. So next week we're off, but there's a new episode. It's just live and old, kind of, but a lot of laughs, a lot of bestiality jokes. It's all there for you. So until next week, where we're going live, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Eric Siska.
Chris Cabin.
Take it easy.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.